And guys, you know, we are part of a big family of God, aren't we? We have friends. We've been blessed to be able to go to Asia a few times. And so some of our Filipino friends were reaching out this week and said, hey, thank you so much for your prayers, because here's what the Lord has blessed us with. And one wee family reached out and said, hey, we got the flat we were after. We had to pray about it. We had to go for it, but God blessed us with it. Thank you for your prayers. And so some days we're not always aware of the details, but let me tell you this. The world is a small place, and the believers of God, when we pray, great things happen. Amen. So please continue to pray for the kids clubs coming up this Sunday summer. We already have over 200 kids signed up for during the week. We are nearly full on football camp. We are going to have one of the best years we ever had, if not the best year yet. And God is about to do something extraordinary. So continue to pray and bless the Lord for his goodness. Okay, we're going to read some verses together. But let me say this. We are going to learn about the Father's voice today. Did you know that the Father wants to speak to you? The Father wants to speak to you. And for some of us, we're thinking, oh no, what's he going to tell us? What have I done wrong this time? Or we're hoping that he's going to give us a big check. I don't know. Stop thinking about your earthly father. I know he's good like that. I'm talking about your heavenly Father who loves you, and he speaks words of life into your heart. Amen. And so we're going to read some verses. Here's what it says. Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17. Now, again, some of these verses you might have read before. You're like, okay, I know that one, read it a few times, but can I just ask us, we're going to go again to these verses. And I believe that these verses today, not yesterday, not 10 years ago, want to impact your life in a way that can change you forever more. So let's set the scene. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized. So in case you didn't know, Jesus was baptized. That would be a good enough reason for me. If you are a Christian and have never been baptized, you should get baptized because Jesus did. And you're saying, well, Jesus got baptized? Yes. There's a guy called John the Baptist. He was making a way, but he said, there's one coming better than me. His name will be Jesus. He'll be the Son of God. And so we have this incredible moment in Matthew chapter 3 where they meet each other. It's like where the two guys meet each other. And Jesus says to John, you've got to baptize me. And John turns around to Jesus and says, Jesus, I'm not even worthy to tie your sandals. I'm not worthy to tie your shoes. I can't do it. I'm not sure I can. But Jesus says, John, you have to. You're going to baptize me, and something significant is going to happen because you're passing on to me, and eventually I will pass on to them, and the Holy Spirit's going to work, and I'm going all the way to the cross, and this is the start of it. And so today, as we think about the Father's voice, I want to encourage you with this. There are so many different voices you can hear from today. TV, social media. My kids are already freaking out. Social media is going to be banned soon. Praise the Lord. How good is that? Come on. Come on. Sometimes the news is good. But there are so many things trying to get your attention. So many things. People, problems, issues, pets. I don't know. So many things want your attention. But God is here today, and I think we need to hear his voice the loudest. Here's what it says. As Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and wait for this. At that very moment, heaven was opened. At that very moment, heaven was opened. You know, some of us like to say we're God's gift. Maybe, I don't know. But the heavens were opened when Jesus was baptized. This is this unbelievable moment. Jesus got baptized, John is there, and the heavens are open. And then it says the Holy Spirit comes like a dove. Like a dove, and it descends on him. And of course, the Holy Spirit speaks about power, and it speaks about identity, and he's part of the Godhead, and he comes to transform your life. And a few weeks ago, we were in Pentecost Sunday, and we said, hey, as a believer in Christ, we get saved, but the plan of God is we get saved, and then we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we get more filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're constantly pouring out. And I'm constantly giving away what I don't have, or I'm constantly giving away what he's given me, sorry. And so as I pour out, I need refill. Same as eating, same as activities, same as life. It's like I fill, I go. I go too far without getting some new stuff in. I'm exhausted. I run out. But it says that the Holy Spirit happens. So imagine this moment. Heavens are open. Holy Spirit comes descending like a dove and alights on him. And you're going, this is probably the best day ever for Jesus. This would be a pretty good day for me. This would be a pretty good day for you. But it is not over yet. And I want to suggest that the most important thing is just about to happen. As if that wasn't good enough, something even better is about to take place. And suddenly we're going to hear God's voice. It says, a voice from heaven speaks, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We start off with Genesis, where it says that the Father spoke and the earth was created, the heavens were created from nothing to everything. We get to the start of the Gospels, and suddenly you've got Jesus there. And now think about this moment. You've got Jesus there in the Jordan. You've got the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And now you've got the Father's voice speaking from heaven. And he's saying, here is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. These are life-giving, transformational words. I don't think you can find any better. And maybe you've heard them a million times. But I want to say this today. What if today God speaks in a fresh way and you find yourself being hit in the heart in a way that you've never been hit before, and suddenly you walk out of this place different, because we all need the Father's voice. And if we get the Father's voice, it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything. Here's what blows me away. Before the miracles, before the crowds, before the sermons, before the ministry, God spoke to his Son. Wow. Jesus hasn't done anything. Jesus has just lived on earth. He's just grown up. He's maybe had a few odd jobs. He's maybe spoke to a few people, but he hasn't done anything significant. And yet the Father speaks to him. And this already is setting the scene for our world, which is so contradictory from our world, because our world's all about activity. If you do lots, we'll appreciate you. If you perform well enough, we'll reward you. If you live consistently good over time, then you'll get some big lifetime award. But God comes to his Son in the first instance, before he's done anything significant in terms of ministry, performance, or any kind of awards. And he turns around him and he says, here's my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I'm well pleased. Here's what God's saying. Here's what God's saying. He's saying, it's not what you do, it's who you are. It's not what you do every day that makes me pleased with you. It's not what you do here or there or anywhere else. It's who you are. It's our relationship first. And honestly, church, if we get this in our heart, if we get this in our minds, most importantly, it will change every which way that we go, because life is designed completely differently. It's like, if you perform well enough, you get rewarded. If you are consistent enough, you'll get a pay rise. If you do well enough over time, you will get that promotion. But the Father is not like that. He says, you're not looking for approval from me. I'm giving you approval before you've done anything, because this is not about what you do. This is about who you are. Identity first. Identity first, and then activity. So I want us to think about this just for a few moments, church. Identity first, and then activity. Because the way a lot of the times world is designed is, hey, what are you going to do when you grow up? And we say things like, well, I'm not sure, but, and then some other people say, well, why didn't you try this thing or that thing? Try being a teacher. Oh, sweet, that was good. I liked it. I think I'll be a teacher. And suddenly, very quickly, even with kindness, we have moved from people that are identity from relationship to identity from what we do. And they suddenly, well, I'm just a teacher. I'm just a teacher. Who are you? I'm a teacher. No, here's what the Bible says. Who are you? Son of God. Who are you? Daughter of God. Come on, church. Our culture is constantly twisting and turning because they don't want to accept that there is a heavenly Father and he has a perfect plan for your life. And so if you're not going to accept that, you're going to have to look under everything else. So maybe if I don't know, do enough jobs, I'll find my identity. I'll find my worth. Maybe if I do a few courses, maybe if I do an IQ test, maybe if I do like a personality test, it will tell me what I'm really good at. And then I'll go for that and I'll feel fully satisfied. Do you know what the problem with all of that is? Most of us have tried it, and we don't feel fully satisfied. In fact, the stats bear it. Most people don't even like what they do. Most people don't like their work. They're not happy with their work. So think how messed up this is. You're trying to find your identity in something you don't like to do. God says there's a better way. Here's my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Here's my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Before you do anything, you've got his approval. Before you do anything, you've got his acceptance. Before you do anything, before how well you perform, he's already declared he loves you with an everlasting love. Now, suddenly that changes everything. Because from that point forward, now I can go and be the man or woman of God that he's called me to. Now I can think about purpose. Now I can think about activity. Now I can think about what I'm going to go to do. But if I default in activity into identity, it's going to mess me up. It's going to mess me up. And it has done in the past, and maybe it has done for you. And so here's what happens. Whenever identity gets replaced by activity and what we do, this is what happens. We have to get more tasks. I need another task. Because you know what? If I don't complete 10 tasks today, I don't feel good. If I don't get 12 tasks done today, and it's not even about feeling rewarded. It's deeper than that. We don't feel we're worth anything. We don't feel, you know, when someone comes to you and they go, hey, you did a great job. And you're like, a great job? Because what we've done is we've attached the great job with our activity rather than who we are in Christ and who they see us as. When our parents come to us and say, hey, you did a great job, they're not always necessarily talking about what you did. They're just talking about you because they love you. They realize it's a relationship. And church, this is what God's talking about. If it's not another task, it's going to have to be another achievement. Need to get another achievement. I need another certificate. Because if I got another certificate, I just don't know. I would just feel fantastic. Another goal. Maybe another like, another follow. Why is social media so powerful? It's not social at all. It's hardly any conversation happening. It's all like, what do you think of me? And what do you think of you? And if we get enough followers, I'll get enough money. It's all about money. I'm trying to get 1,000 subscribers because I'm trying to make some money. You know, like, that's really, you ask kids now, it's crazy. They don't say they want to be astronauts. They don't even really say they want to be footballers. They say they want to be influencers. It's like, whoa. I'm not saying it's a bad job, be that if you want to be that, but it will be no different to everything else before. Your activity will not give you your worth and value. But if it does, gosh, you're going to be in big trouble. You're going to be in big trouble because we've heard it all. We've heard it from all the guys with the money. We've heard it from all the guys with the fame. We've heard it from all the guys that had everything. It wasn't what they thought. It was hollow. It was hollow. It was like finding treasure. Again, it was like, I don't know, going on Antiques Roadshow. That's a terrible show. I don't even know who brought it up. But you go on Antiques Roadshow and you're like, but my mom's had this brooch for generations. And they look at it and say, it's worth 10p. You're like, aha, I thought it was going to be a millionaire. I thought this was the one. You know what I'm saying? It was hollow. It was like, this was it. Guys, if you try to get identity from activity, it is always hollow. Achievements will not cut it. Ability will not cut it. Likes and follows will not cut it. So let's get into it today. Number one, the Father speaks identity. Let's break down just these couple of verses just for a few moments. He says, this is my beloved son. Come on, girls, don't feel left out. He's saying the same thing to you. These are my beloved daughters. But he speaks to Jesus this day. And the first thing that God declares is relationship. Not performance. The first thing that God declares is not what you're going to do or what the task ahead is or what the plan is for the day. The first thing that God declares is, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. You know what I think, church, in a lot of ways? I mean, the Father was there, the Son was there, and the Holy Spirit was there. The people were there, but I also think the enemy probably wasn't too far away. And the Lord is speaking loud and clear. This is my beloved son. He has identity. He's not going out trying to find and become a farmer to become something, or to become a builder to become something, or to become a banker to become something. No, my son has identity because of me. This is not performance. This is not success. This is not achievement. It is sonship. Now, is the Lord against achievement and success and performance? No, not at all. He's just saying, don't put it first. Don't put it first. Make it afterwards. Make it afterwards. When you know who you are, when you know your identity in God, then you go out and guess what? The pressure's off. I'm not doing this to be liked anymore. I'm not doing this to get approval. I'm not doing this to try to feel good about myself. I'm actually doing this because I do feel good and I want to go out and give the Father glory. Amen. It changes everything, church. It means we live life on the front foot rather than the back foot. It means that I can go forward knowing, hey, I love you and I want your respect, but I don't need your approval because I've got it from God. I'm not trying to make enemies, but I'm not going out desperate to get something from you. In fact, I'm going out to give you something. I'm going out to make a difference in your life because I know what the Father has done for me. The Father's words are crucial in your heart. See, before Jesus did anything public, he knew who he was. The Father didn't say, this is my miracle working son. This is my preacher. This is my leader. He said, this is my son. This is what he said to everybody. This is my son. He wanted the world to know he belongs to me. Isn't that good news? You know, a lot of people are going around trying to figure out where they came from. A lot of people are going out trying to figure out where they come from because they realize something innately, even though culture may tell them differently. If I could realize where I'm from, I might learn who I am. And that's exactly true. When you realize who you are in God, you will start to realize what you're about and who you're for and who's with you and what the call of your life will be and what your purpose is and what your plan will be. See, there's two little keys I want us to think about. Identity comes before assignment. This is so important. Identity comes before assignment. I've got to know who I am before I go to try to figure out what I'm called to do. I want to know who I belong to. I want to know what my father, I want to know what he says about me. So when I go out to life, I go out differently. I'm not going out trying to search for identity. I'm going out with purpose. It transforms everything, church. And maybe you've been stuck between two stools. Maybe you're going, well, I think I know all this stuff. But at the same time, your weeks are being hijacked because of performance-related events. Your weeks are being hijacked because of lack of approval from someone or because of this thing or that thing. Whenever you know the Father and what he says over you, suddenly you walk out with a different spirit. Suddenly you walk out with a different attitude. Come on, everything changes for us, church, once we know who we are. Number two, relationship comes from comes before responsibility. See, again, it's easy to get responsibility in certain things. It's easy to have responsibility here and responsibility there. But responsibility without relationship, it's like it's too heavy. It's too heavy. It's like I can do all these things, but what am I doing these things for? I can do all these things, but then the pressure goes on. Will I still have the wherewithal within inside to be able to keep going, or will it crush me? But when you have relationship and then comes responsibility, you're like, yeah, I'm a father's son. If my dad can do it, I can do it. Come on, how many times have you heard this one? Maybe a bill comes through and you're like, oh my goodness, Lord, how am I going to pay it? And then you start quoting scripture to yourself and it goes, my father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You're like, yes, Lord, come on. My identity helps me in my responsibilities. But whenever you have responsibilities before identity, suddenly that lack of relationship, it begins to crush you. Like, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. And suddenly you go from certain to uncertain. I don't know if I'm even meant to be a teacher anymore. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do in this life. And sometimes I can feel freeing, but a lot of times we're saying that because of fear, because of lack of identity, because of lack of relationship. What if it was solved with as simple words as these? Here's my beloved son. Here's my beloved daughter. Those words alone are incredible. Let me tell you, take you back to Tenerife this last week. We went to one of the parks and hey, it doesn't matter how many times you see a gorilla, he's still pretty impressive. Do you agree with me? Come on. I walked around the corner and I saw this, I was like, whoa. And there's just a, you know, glass thing. Praise the Lord for glass. But I just thought this guy is a big dude, you know? But you know what I began to think of? I began to think of many big dudes that I've met before. But you see, when the father hits them in the heart between the two eyes, the tears come. The tears come. Because it doesn't matter the exterior. It doesn't matter how impressive you look. If you don't know that you are loved and that you have worth and value from the father, I mean, forget the physical. Forget the outward. Forget the impressiveness. Forget how good you can beat your chest. Come on. None of it will be anything if you don't know your relationship in him. So guys, come on. We got to know we're our father's kids. If you've given your life to him, he transforms everything. See, the world says like this, and you're constantly being hit with it all of the time. It's so continuous. There's no way that it hasn't affected you. So here's what I'll give you a few. Prove yourself. Always prove yourself. Prove yourself. Prove yourself. You know, like prove yourself. Like social media, prove yourself. You know, identity, prove yourself. You know, you're going through the airport, prove yourself. Yeah, everything's about proving yourself. Prove. So I got to prove myself. So it gets underneath the skin. Earn it. You know, got to constantly earn everything. Earn it. Achieve more. Become somebody. Become somebody. But again, all of those things are fine if they're in the right order. It's just if those things take the place of identity, then it becomes toxic. Because it doesn't matter what I become if I don't know him. What does the word say? You could gain the whole world, but if you lose your own soul, what's the point? It means nothing. You could have everything, but at the end, you can't take it with you. You could achieve and still feel at 80 years old like you wasted your whole life. Because it's not about those things. That's where we're taking activity and we're trying to shove it into the gap that we've got for identity. And it is not a good fit. Let me just say it like that. It's not a good fit. So here's what the Father says. And let me hit you between the two eyes in case you need it. The Father says, I love you. And you're already loved. Already loved. You are already loved. Get ready for this one. You belong. You belong. Maybe that one doesn't affect you because you already belong. But you see, if you don't belong, that one's earth shattering. It's our shattering. You could be living a flying high life, but if you don't know where you've come from and you've got no true identity, it can shatter everything. Which is just one thing. Do you belong anywhere? No, I don't. I don't. But when you become part of the family of God, you belong. You belong. You belong to him and he belongs to you. And then I could say a whole bunch, but I love this one. You are mine. You know what those words are like? Maybe you need to hear them today. When the Father speaks to you and says, you are mine. You ever had that thing? Again, it could have been the same when we were in the animal park the other day, but I'm sure there was bound to be a bunch of kids that went missing. Hopefully they find their parents by the end of it. But can you imagine that moment where it comes to the end of the year, like panicking, I couldn't find you. And then the person goes, they're mine. That's just everything. It's everything. You are mine. He found me. Church, the Lord is looking for you. If you have not been found by him, he is looking for you. If you have given your life to him, but you don't know that he has found you and that you belong to him and that you are his, then today I want to remind you, he is yours and you belong to him. And he will not let you go. You see, Jesus wasn't working for identity. He was working from identity. Jesus wasn't going out every day thinking, oh, I got to please him. I got to please him. Oh, my goodness, I don't think I'll ever make the cross. Oh, my goodness, what am I supposed to do? Like, again, that moment where Jesus turns around to the Father and says, is there any other way? Come on, that's not the moment that maybe we would tend to think. See, the way that we would tend to think in that moment is if you're after approval, then you'd be thinking to yourself, Lord, I'm trying to please you, so I'm trying to do this. But Lord, you understand it's really hard for me. And so, Lord, if there's any other way, Jesus is not saying if there's any other way I could get the same approval by doing something else. No, that tends to be how 90% of the world lives. Lord, I really want to go for you. I really want to go for you. I really want to go for you. And then when the heat comes on, Lord, is there any other way? But the only reason that we really wanted to go from is because we're trying to get acceptance and approval and love and attention. But can I tell you that he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb? Can I tell you that he had planned for you before the world ever begun? Can I tell you that he's already chosen you before you've ever known that he existed? Come on, it's a completely different thing. And so when the Son turned to the Father that day on the way to the cross and said, is there any other way? It was not about acceptance. He just spoke to a father of love and he said, Dad, I almost need some comfort. This is hard. And the father spoke and said, Son, there's no other way. But even in those words, the son would have known that means he's with me. That means he's with me. That means he'll never leave me. And church, he will never leave you also. He never will. He's a good father. He's an incredible God. See, most people live their whole lives looking for a voice of affirmation from a teacher or from a friend or from a colleague or from a coach. You did a great job. But God's already saying it. You're enough. You're loved and you're valuable. And he is for you. And he is there for you. This is our identity in him. He absolutely loves you. Can I just share a quick story? Maybe a little straight to the point. Because again, a lot of this stuff, we already know it. But it's just how much is woven into us and how hard it is to see. Years ago, back in school days. So like 13, 14, something like this. And I ended up getting this grit teacher. He was a physics teacher. And all I really wanted for that physics teacher was that, because I just thought he was great. I thought he was unbelievable. I thought his mind was unbelievable. The things he could do, unbelievable. And all I really wanted him to do was... Well, he wouldn't have said you're dead on, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want him to go, oh, he's a great guy. That's all I want him to say. Now, I'm not looking to say it now because God's delivered me, but this is how subtle this stuff can be. And so, but I was desperate for it. I really wanted to say it because I just thought he's so amazing. But what I saw was, this is what I truly saw. I saw he's really amazing, but I don't think I'm not amazing. But if he could say that I was good, it might make me feel better. And it might make me believe that I was good too. Now, did I love the Lord? Was I saved? I believe at this time I was. But I didn't fully understand what the Lord had done for me. And church, you might be here today and you might not fully understand what the Lord's done for you. And so it can be a little bit of an up and down marathon. It can be a little bit of an up and down season with him as you walk these things out. But so for the next few years, I thought to myself, well, how could I get his attention? So I thought to myself, well, if I did really good, listen to this, if I did really good in the exam, then I would get his attention. The problem is, if you've ever tried physics, it's pretty hard. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes the more you try, the worse you got. And so I was like, oh gosh, he's going to think I'm rubbish tonight. So it wasn't getting any better. Do you know what I'm saying? Trying to say? But I kept going, because this is the path of trying to get approval. It's relentless. It's exhausting. It's tiring. It feels like there's no finish line in sight. It feels like there's no way to get it. It always feels like it's out of reach, but you try harder anyway, because there's no other way. You just try harder, and you try harder, and you try harder. Now, I don't think I would have ever achieved the right results for him to set, because I think it was more about him than me, and it's probably just not the type of person that he was. But fast forward, and this is how crazy it was, about 15 odd years later, I was in the same school as my mom, and she happened to run into that teacher again about 15 years later. And guess what he said? How's your son getting on? Oh my goodness. And my mom started telling me the conversation. She says, I can't remember what it was, but let me just make it up really good, okay? He was a great fella. I never had a student like him. No, I don't think it was as good as that, but it was pretty good. And it was that he recognized me. He had noticed me this whole time. Now, at this point in time, in my 30s, I was like, oh, that was nice. Did it still hit my heart? Yes, because it was important back to him. But I remembered, I thought back, Lord, you have taken me a long way. You've taken me a long way. But church, can I say it? If you're still looking for man's approval, then that means that life has got a hook in your heart. If you're still looking for an old teacher's approval, well, then you're going down a never-ending path where there will be no success, because you may never meet them again. They may never think what you think. They may never remember you, which is even worse. I don't know who you're talking about. It's nothing worse than that. But what I want to say to you is that God wants to set you free. And you know how easy it is? Here's my beloved son, in whom I'm well-pleased. Identity. It's identity every single time. This is what sets us free. So come on, I got two more things I want to try and hit before we go. The Father speaks purpose. There's so much in these verses. This is crazy. So let me just emphasize one more word. It says, he didn't say this is a son. He didn't say this is somebody's son. He said, my son. This is my son. Church, you got to know. Come on. I know you're big, tough people, but this is important. This is important. When somebody tells you, my son, oh my goodness, come on. It's like you're walking down the street and you're feeling a wee bit afraid, and then you realize God was with you. Okay, we're all good. We're all good. I got the lion and the lamb. You know, he can go either way. He can go either way that I need him to go. Come on. When the Father spoke this over Jesus, I think hell began to shake. Come on, church. I think when the Father spoke this over Jesus, the Satan already started to sweat, because he was like, my son. This is not just anybody's son, but this is his son. This is God's son. And when the Lord sees you and you look in the mirror, sometimes you're going, I don't know if I'm valuable. I don't know if I'm worth it. I'm doing it. You know, our minds can play tricks on us. Our minds can be real with us, and we can start to believe things that are not even true. But the minute you believe a lie, it becomes a truth. But I want to just hit something with greater truth, which is you're his son and you're his daughter if you've given your life to Christ. Amen. Come on, church. I know I can wake you up. It's warm. But let me say this. I thought of this earlier, because I thought the excuse would be it's too hot today, so give me a break. But did you see Aaron in there? I think he lost by 2 stone. Come on. In that drum booth, it's even hotter. So come on. There's always a worse situation. You're doing all right. I can see you're still alive. There's some eyes movement. It's good. It's good. So he says, you're my son. You're my daughter. This is the goodness of God. This is not just any old thing. This is identity and purpose are connected, because there's no point living your dream job if you don't know who you are. There's no point living your dream job. There's no point living the dream when underneath it, the foundation is a nightmare, because you don't know where you came from. You don't know what you're about. You don't really believe what you're doing. You feel like a fraud. Come on, you're thinking that's just you. I think that's 99% of the world that's outside of Christ. I think it is. Because you want what everybody else has. We were laughing earlier on, Jordan and I, but you can do it with anybody. When we go to Asia, or we go to South America, if we ever get there, they all want to be white like us. And we all want to be like them, with a tan or something. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to be somebody different. Everybody wants to be somebody else. Everybody thinks their life's going to be better. Everybody thinks, oh gosh, I thought my car was good and then I saw theirs. Oh, let's go home. Come on. Life is a comparison trap, and it just wants to beat you up over and over and over and over again. And so we have to remind ourselves, I'm not working for identity. I've got identity. And once I've got identity, I can step into purpose. And when I've got that identity and that a purpose, oh my goodness, watch out, world. The things I'm going to do are going to be unbelievable. But you see, when you've got a lack of identity, guess what? Every opportunity, you'll chase it. Every trend, you'll have to do it. Oh, you got the latest trend? Yeah, I have to do it, because if I don't do it, I won't be cool. Got to be the latest trend, latest opinion. Every distraction, it just gets in the way over and over and over again. But look what Jesus said. Luke 2:49, they went looking for him one day. He was just young at the time. He said, didn't you know? I had to be about my father's business. call of God for me? That's my father's business. I'm not sure if I should be a teacher or a doctor. Be whatever you like. That's what I honestly believe. Be whatever you like. I don't think it really matters. But you know what truly matters? Do you know your identity? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you're not a filthy, rotten sinner anymore, but you're a son of the living God? Amen. Come on. Do you know that you've been bought with a price that couldn't be paid by anybody else, but by Jesus himself, and he paid it in his own blood because of love? Come on, church, if we don't start talking life to ourselves, I don't know who else is. Maybe record yourself and play it back. But you got to speak life to your bones, because if they don't, they'll still be in Ezekiel. Dry bones have to rise. Dead bones have to come back alive again. And the enemy is only out to kill, steal, and destroy. But you are a beloved son. You are a beloved son. And God's got great plans for your life. Calling always flows from identity. If it doesn't flow from identity, it will always end up corrupt and hollow. Third thing, and my last thing, because I know time's going. The Father speaks of acceptance. You see, this whole part has been two parts, hasn't it? Here's my beloved son, and then we said my son, and that was important. But it's this last part that just transforms everything. Because a lot of people know that they're loved. A lot of people know that their mom and dad loves them. That's great. A lot of people, you know, have a loved one in their life. My kids love me. My partner loves me. A lot of people have those things. But it's this last part, in whom I'm well pleased. This is the part that's just, this messes everything up. Because in whom I'm well pleased, but I have to do something to be worthy of reward. I have to do something to be worthy of accolade. I have to do something to be worthy of something. No, the Lord says, no. He goes, the problem was you were worth nothing. That was the problem. And so what I did was I came and I bought you at the highest price, because the enemy had ruined you and life had ruined you and sin had ruined you. But you know what I could see underneath it all? I could see something beautiful. I could see something priceless. I could see someone made in the image of God. Does anybody remember the story from the Old Testament? Didn't even plan this one, but it came in the first one, and I think it needs to come in the second one. Hosea, and God calls him to marry a prostitute. Anybody remember this? I mean, come on. This is a guy who was a holy man of God, a prophet of God. He was the local pastor. And he goes down to the local brothel, and he picks a wife, and God says, marry that one. What? Come on, this is not going to be good. This is going to be all over social media. This guy's going to lose his job. This is not good. But this is even more serious, because there wasn't a whole bunch of pastors around there. It was just prophets who heard from God, very few, and what they said people should do. That's how the system worked back then. And yet God calls Hosea to this girl, and she's not really acting like a girl, because you know what happens? Whenever you don't know your identity, your activity will become everything. And if you're trying to find acceptance, you'll look under everything for acceptance. And so wherever you find acceptance, even if it's not a good acceptance, you'll still take it, because I need acceptance at all costs, because everybody needs identity. Everybody. And you know what the Lord was showing? The Lord was showing us a beautiful picture. What everybody else rejects, what everybody else despises, I see the beauty underneath. I see the invaluable creation. I see the image of God. I see my mark on their life. And so, church, here I am today to reach into your heart to say this. Maybe there's someone in your life that you can't forgive. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're struggling with. Maybe you're struggling with yourself. I want to encourage you today, church. You need the Lord to come and speak these words into your heart. Here's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God loves people, and God died for people, and God died for you. And once you start from that place, oh my goodness, watch out, world, what the Lord is going to do. Let me do one more story. Back early 1900s, I was checking out the story yesterday. I thought this is going to be perfect for what we're talking about. Anybody remember there was a famous runner? His name was Eric Liddell back in the early 1900s. And he's like a mystery kid in from Scotland. The Scots were out in Tenerife. They were mad. Anyway, but he was from Scotland. Family moves to China and they are missionary kids in China. But Eric was this guy who could run. And so 1924, you've got the Paris Olympics, and Eric goes all the way from China, all the way to Paris. And he gets there, and they tip him as the fastest man in the world, 22 years old, all the way to, could you imagine how long that journey would have been? 22 years old, 1924, Paris, come all the way from China. Unbelievable. And he gets there, and suddenly he's got a problem. Fastest man in the world, he's going to run the 100 meters. And he finds out that the heats are on a Sunday. He says, I can't do it. And you're going, what? What do you mean? Like, we go shopping on a Sunday? We watch TV? That's what we do every one Sunday. Come on, let's go. No. He had a conviction on his heart. He said, I run for the Lord. And I just can't run on a Sunday. And so people's freaking out. They're going, what? The fastest man in the world? He's guaranteed a gold medal and he's going to throw it all away? Yeah, because you don't get it. Eric's life is not dictated to by what he wins. He's already won. Come on, Eric doesn't run for man's approval. Eric runs for God. Amen? Come on, church. You don't run for man's approval. You run for God. That's why sometimes you're going to find yourself in controversial situations that everybody else can't get their head around, but you know it makes perfect sense. I can't do it. I can't do that work there. I can't go there. I can't do this because it changes everything about you. It changes your speech. It changes your heart. It changes your mind. Everybody else thinks you're crazy. Sure, it's just money. Sure, it's just a Sunday. Sure, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's grace. There's all those things. But if you've got a conviction and you're led by the approval of God first, oh my goodness, it changes everything. So guess what Eric did? He threw the 100 meters away. He says, stuff it. I won't bother doing the 100 meters. I'll do the 400 meters. Now, I don't know if you're into any kind of athletics. You don't switch from 100 to 400. You're like, body like this 100% knows what he's talking about. No, I just watched it on TV. And so there's just no way you switch from one to the other. It doesn't matter if it's 1924 or 2024. It just doesn't work. Eric switched. And not only did he switch to the 400 meters, but he won it. And he won gold. And then the world's at his feet and they're all going, oh, Eric, you're unbelievable. Oh my goodness. Yeah. If it was today, they'd think it was all a setup. It was AI or something. I don't know, but they'd think everything. But you know what Eric did afterwards? At the world at his feet, I'm sure ready to get sponsorships. I'm sure ready to go on all the TV shows, ready to go on all the papers. He said, back to China. Eric, what? You've just won gold at the Paris 1924 Olympics. Like, this is it. You've made it. You've made it. Even Christians are trying to make it somewhere. I don't know where you're trying to make it. You've already made it if you've made God. Amen? If you've accepted him. Watch how sneaky the world gets in. Watch how sneaky it is. We're not similar to the world. We're 180 from the world. Guess what Eric does? He gets the long boat all the way back to China. You'd be thinking, well, he must have thought it wrong by the time he got home to China. No. He was living a different life, church. Here's what he says. When they asked Eric one time, well, what way do you live your life? What makes you so different? He said, God made me fast. God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Wow. God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. In other words, I'm not a runner. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a beloved son in whom he's well pleased. And every time I run, I feel his pleasure. Isn't that unbelievable? Feel the weight come off your shoulders, church, if you can let it just for a moment. You're a beloved son. You're not just trying to be a doctor to highly achieve. You're not trying to be a salesman and do the next numbers. You're not just trying to be a good mom and try to make it through and get your kids to attain. All those things are lovely. But you know who you truly are? A son or a daughter. And every time you teach, every time you run, every time you sell a car, every time you go to work, every time you do anything, you just feel the Lord's pleasure. No pressure. No pressure. Okay, stress, pressure affects Christians just as much as it affects everybody else. And I'm telling you, it's only a lot of the times, I'm not going to say only, but a lot of the times, it's because we're living in the same systems. We're trying to go on the same rides. We're trying to get the same accolades. We're trying to get the same outcomes. But when everybody else couldn't figure out why Eric would not run and would not continue to run and would not go for the next gold medal and the next gold medal, he couldn't figure out what they were talking about because he's like, I'm a missionary. I just happen to be fast for the glory of God. So you know what he did? He ran really fast back home to China. That's what he did. And do you know what he did for the next 21 years? Because he died at 43. You know what he did for the next 21 years? Is that he worked with the kids of China and taught them about Jesus. And he spent his whole life trying to teach people, don't get into the rat race, trying to get approval and trying to get a big car and trying to get a big paycheck and trying to get this right person and that right person. He said, try to figure this one out. God made you fast. God loves you. And when you work and when you run and when you live, feel his pleasure. Live for the pleasure of God. In 1945, you know what I'm talking about now, World War II is already full going. And Eric's been in a concentration camp, and at 43 years old, he dies in that concentration camp. A lot of people go, what a life wasted. Eric should have lived a high life. He should have been in Champagne in Paris. He should have been gold medal after gold medal. He should have left a legacy. Church, he left such a legacy. We're still talking about it today. Anybody can win a gold medal. Well, maybe not anybody. But very few go back to China and live a life for God when they've got the world at their feet. It just depends what your life's, what you're living for. Now, can you be a five-star athlete? Can you be an unbelievable boss? Can you be an unbelievable business owner? Absolutely. Do all of it for his pleasure. Just don't do it because it's your identity. Don't do it because you want somebody to approve you. Don't do it because you're desperate for the medal. Do it because you know who you are in Christ. And by the way, I happen to be fast. There's been plenty other athletes that didn't go to China and die for the Lord. There's been plenty other athletes that won gold after gold and give glory to God on the podium. It just depends what way he calls you. The only thing that really matters is, do you know your identity? And on that day in 1924, they tried to steal Eric's identity, but Eric's identity could not be stolen because he had met the Lord. Come on, church, if you've not met the Lord today, and I mean really met him and known his voice, then I want to encourage you. Can we stand together? Come on, we're going to pray. I want to read one last little bit over your heart, which is to the dads, because I know a lot of us are dads or at some point are going to be dads. But either way, we're a man that are trying to live a life in a world that's not so easy to live sometimes. Our world is riddled with a problem of fatherlessness. I'm not even sure it's really fatherlessness that is the root cause. I think it's just lack of identity. But you need the Father's voice to get to that identity so I can see where people are going. We need identity in God. But can I just speak this out to our hearts, especially because it's Father's Day? The world doesn't need perfect dads. In fact, it's impossible. What the world really needs and what the church needs and what God needs is men. Let's just say men, dads. We're all going to be leading someone. Maybe we're leading ourselves. Is that we would be present. And some of the things that we would show and demonstrate to the world is we would be dads who would pray, men who would pray, fathers who would worship, fathers who would lead, fathers who would apologize. I know sometimes that's not easy, but fathers who would apologize, fathers who would forgive, fathers who would speak life. And then maybe the greatest gift that a father can give is not a big inheritance, although it's pretty nice. Come on, let's be real. If you get a nice inheritance, you're like, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, amen. No, it's not about the wealth. It's about the faith. If you have a dad, or you bring moms in, if you, anybody that will leave you an inheritance of faith, oh my goodness. The effect that that can have on a person's life is unbelievable. There was a stat that came out years ago, something like 90%, over 90%, if you win the men, you win the whole family. I don't know. I don't know if it was fully verified, but let me just say this. You need the Father's voice. You need the Father's voice. And when he speaks into your life, it can heal any heart. It can heal your heart. It can touch your mind. He can reset your life. He can transform you in every way. Church, I've seen it. I've felt it. I've known it. The Father can transform you, and he wants to. Can we pray together? Whose voice are we listening to? Who has got our attention? We need the Father's voice. And so, Lord, I speak it boldly again into our hearts. Let it be medicine to our souls today, Lord. You're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. The Bible makes it clear, church, anyone who calls on the name of God is saved and born again. And suddenly they become part of the family of God. And in an instant, we become sons and daughters. Our spirits are renewed, but our minds are our journey with Him. And I pray today, Lord, that our minds would no longer be a stumbling block, but they would be renewed by the Word, like we've heard today. And our minds would be refreshed day after day after day after day. And as we think about Eric and the great sacrifice that he made to serve the Lord, I don't think it was a sacrifice at all. He said, I feel the Father's pleasure. Church, I pray that we would feel the Father's pleasure in all that we do. I pray that we would feel and know the Father's pleasure, whether we're just looking after kids or trying to run a business or just trying to walk the dog. Lord, that we would know the Father's heart towards us and we would know His great pleasure. Lord, I pray for anybody that's far from You or anyone that doesn't know You. Lord, come home. Come home today. The Father is with and He loves you with an everlasting love. Guys, we're going to pray just after worship, but I want to allow the Lord to just speak to your heart. I want to invite you to sing, take time with Him, let Him speak over your life, and allow the Father to speak bold words of life and love over you so you will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Child of God.